I mean, we're really trying to make using HPC systems as easy as it is to use your laptop or a regular, you know, Linux cluster. Mm-hmm. It's we want to make it simple for people to get on a machine, install the software they need, and, you know, get going. And so, I mean, I think the legacy, if we're successful with this, is, you know, SPAC basically sits under all three parts of ECP, software technologies, application development, and we're heavily involved in HI for facility deployment. We're building infrastructure that we will use to basically have pre-built packages available for anybody. And I think if we can, you know, successfully set that up and keep the maintenance of it going after ECP, then we will have simplified life for a lot of people using HPC machines.
From the U.S. Department of Energy's Exascale Computing Project, this is Let's Talk Exascale. Hello from SC19. In this episode, we are very pleased to have Todd Gamblin of Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory to discuss SPAC, something that we know you're very much associated with, Todd.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah, and so tell me a little bit about your involvement here at SC19 with SPAC. What all have you been doing?
Well, we've had three BOFs. We've had a day-long tutorial. We had probably three paper sessions that dealt with SPAC. Mm-hmm. So it's really been kind of an all-week thing. We even made a special page on SPAC.io that shows all the things that SPAC is involved with at SC19. So it's been pretty busy.
Yeah, I see all the activity on Twitter. It's obviously very popular.
Yeah, we're trying to get the word out because we want people to contribute to the project and use the tool.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, will you give us, and you've probably done this a lot, the elevator speech about SPAC, what it is. And I know it's an app store. Just take it from there.
It's a flexible package manager for supercomputing. So it models the relationships between software packages and lets users install, say, an application without having to worry about all the things the application depends on. So it simplifies things for people who want to use HPC.
This is very exciting. It just won an R&D 100 award. So tell us your feelings about that.
I mean, it's an honor. Great to have an R&D 100 award. We won the regular R&D 100 award, and we also got a special recognition for being a market disruptor, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that sort of speaks to why we won the award. I think it was based mostly on SPAC's impact throughout the HPC community. Mm-hmm. So we have users worldwide. We have a lot of supercomputing centers starting to take up SPAC to deploy software, and it's been influential in ECP as well. And I think, you know, all of those things and collaborations with even like foreign computing centers like, you know, CERN outside of the traditional HPC scene, and RIKEN with their Fugaku machine due in 2021.
Yeah.
Just the broad collaboration, I think, was a big part of the award.
I guess in the type of work you do, you never arrive. It's always an ongoing development process. What would you say about that with respect to SPAC? You know, what are you doing with it right now?
Well, I mean, I think that's very true. It's never done,
right?
Especially because we're modeling a software ecosystem that, you know, is constantly evolving. SPAC itself, I mean, the core tool is constantly evolving because we're trying to build new features for application developers and software teams. And then, I mean, just maintaining the packages in SPAC, there's 3,500 packages. We merge probably 200 or 300 pull requests every month.
Wow.
So it's just a constant churn of activity on the site. And we could not do that without a community. So SPAC is broader than just ECP. We have contributors from all over. It's like 450 contributors at this point.
Yeah. So what are your interactions like with all the people who help you out with SPAC? What does that look like?
It can range. So, for core contributors, like our colleagues at Fermilab and Kitware and folks who want to contribute major features, we get pretty closely involved in the technical details. For GitHub and our, you know, for package bumps and things like that, where people want to just submit a new version, it can be really quick. They can submit a pull request. Anyone can do this, and then we will review it and possibly give you feedback and click merge. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have this rolling develop release, and we periodically release sort of vetted versions of SPAC. Mm-hmm.
So what are you into at the moment? What in particular?
At the moment, we just rolled out SPAC 0.13. It added a whole bunch of features around facility deployment. And one thing that we're particularly happy about is we have specific microarchitecture support, so we can target our binaries directly at the types of machines we're deploying under ECP. So we don't just target Intel, we target Skylake. We don't just target AMD, we target, you know, Naples or Rome, the specific generation of chip, and optimize for that.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be surprised at how hard it is to figure that out about a chip. The vendors don't just give you a nice name. You have to sort of understand what hardware you're on and how to talk to the compiler to tell it to optimize for it.
Sounds complex. I've been asking pretty much everybody this, I think, in relation to their project. What would you say the legacy is going to be for SPAC?
I mean, we're really trying to make using HPC systems as easy as it is to use your laptop or a regular, you know, Linux cluster. Mm-hmm. We want to make it simple for people to get on a machine, install the software they need, and, you know, get going. And so, I mean, I think the legacy, if we're successful with this, is, you know, SPAC basically sits under all three parts of ECP, software technologies, application development, and we're heavily involved in HI for facility deployment. We're building infrastructure that we will use to basically have pre-built packages available for anybody. And I think if we can, you know, successfully set that up and keep the maintenance of it going after ECP, then we will have simplified life for a lot of people using HPC machines.
That's perfect. Well, thank you, Todd, for stopping by. We really appreciate it. And I know our listeners do.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Yep, bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Let's Talk Exascale.